Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is John Wadsworth, and I have the privilege to read the Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings by Henry Morris. I have permission from the Institute for Creation Research, and we'll be going over this book today. Well, first I'd like to tell you this is a hard copy. It's the 21st printing, July 1992. And we will begin on page 17 and begin with the introduction, which is titled The Book of Beginnings. The Foundation of History. The Book of Genesis is probably the most important book ever written. The Bible as a whole would surely be considered, even by those who don't believe in its inspiration, as the book that was exerted the greatest influence on history of any book ever produced. The Bible, however, is actually a compilation of many books, and the Book of Genesis is the foundation of all of them. If the Bible were somehow expurgated of the Book of Genesis, as many people today would prefer, the rest of the Bible would be incomprehensible. It would be like a building without a ground floor, or a bridge with no support. The books of the Old Testament narrating God's dealings with the people of Israel would be provincial and bigoted were they not set in the context of God's developing purposes for all mankind, as laid down in the early chapters of Genesis. The New Testament, describing the execution and implementation of God's plan for man's redemption, is redundant and anachronistic, except in the light of man's desperate need for salvation, as established in the record of man's primeval history recorded only in Genesis. The Book of Genesis is vital information concerning the origin of all things, and therefore the meaning of all things, which would otherwise be forever inaccessible to man. The future is bound up in the past. One's belief concerning his origin will inevitably determine his belief concerning his purpose and his destiny. A naturalistic, animalistic concept of beginnings specifies a naturalistic, animalistic program for the future. An origin at the hands of an omnipotent, holy, loving God, on the other hand, necessarily predicts a divine purpose in history and an assurance of the consummation of that purpose. A believing understanding of the Book of Genesis is therefore prerequisite to an understanding of God and his meaning to man. The word Genesis, of course, means origin, and the Book of Genesis gives the only true and reliable account of the origin of all the basic entities of the universe and of life. These will each be discussed in an appropriate place, along with the alternative naturalistic philosophies of origins proposed by various philosophers, sometimes call themselves scientists. At this point, the foundational importance of the Book of Genesis is stressed simply by noting the fact that it does give this information. Note, for example, the following. 1. Origin of the universe. The Book of Genesis stands alone in accounting for the actual creation of the basic space, mass, time continuum, which constitutes our physical universe. Genesis 1:1 is unique in all literature, science, and philosophy. Every other system of cosmogony whether in ancient religious myths or in modern scientific models, starts with eternal matter or energy in some form. Cities were supposedly gradually derived by some process. Only the book of Genesis even attempts to account for the ultimate origin of matter, space, and time, and it does so uniquely in terms of special creation. Number two, the origin of order and complexity. Man's universal observation, both in his personal experience and in his formal study of physical and biological systems, is that orderly and complex things tend naturally to decay into disorder and simplicity. Order and complexity never arise spontaneously. They are always generated by a prior caused program to produce such order. The primeval programmer and his programmed purposes are found only in Genesis. Number three, order of the solar system. The earth, as well as the sun and moon, and even the planets and all the stars of heaven, were likewise brought into existence by the Creator. It is small wonder that modern scientific cosmogonists have been so notably unsuccessful in attempting to devise naturalistic theories of the origin of the universe and the solar system. Number four, the origin of the atmosphere and hydrosphere. The earth is uniquely equipped with a great body of liquid water and an extensive blanket of an oxygen-nitrogen gaseous mixture, both of which are necessary for life. These have never developed on other planets and are accounted for only by special creation. Number five, the origin of life. How living systems could have come into being from non-living chemicals is and will undoubtedly continue to be a total mystery to materialistic philosophers. The marvels of the reproductive process and the almost infinite complexity programmed into the genetic system of plants and animals are inexplicable except by special creation. At least if the laws of thermodynamics and probability mean anything at all. The account of the creation of living creatures in Genesis is the only rational explanation. Number six, origin of man. Man is the most highly organized and complex entity in the universe. So far as we know, possessing not only innumerable intricate psychochemical structures and the marvelous capacities of life and reproduction, but also a nature which contemplates the abstract entities of beauty and love and worship, and which is capable of philosophizing about its own meaning. Man's imagery, imaginary, evolutionary descent from animal ancestors is altogether illusory. The true record of his origin is given only in Genesis. The origin, number seven, the origin of marriage. The origin of marriage. The remarkable universal and stable institution of marriage and the home is a monogamous, patriarchal, social culture is likewise described in Genesis as having been ordained by the Creator. Polygamy, infanticide, infanticide, matriarchy, promiscuity, divorce, abortion, homosexuality, and other corruptions all developed later. Number eight, origin of evil, cause and effect. Reasoning accounts for the origin of the concepts of goodness, truth, beauty, love, and such things as fundamental attributes of the Creator himself. The origin of physical and moral evils in the universe is explained in Genesis as a temporary intrusion into God's perfect world, allowed by him as a concession to the principle of human freedom and responsibility, and also to manifest himself as a redeemer as well as creator. Number 9, the origin of language. The gulf between the chatterings of animals and the intelligent, abstract, symbolic communication systems of man is completely unbridgeable by any evolutionary process. The book of Genesis not only accounts for the origin of language in general, but also for the various national languages in particular. Number 10, the origin of government. Development of organizational systems of human government is described in Genesis. Man responsible not only for his own actions, but also for the maintenance of orderly social structures through systems of laws and punishments. Number 11, the origin of culture. The book of Genesis also describes the beginnings of the main entities which we now associate with civilized cultures, such things as urbanization, meteorology, music, agriculture, animal husbandry, writing, education, navigation, textiles, and ceramics. Number 12, origin of nations. All scholars today accept the essential unity of the human race. The problem then is how distinct nations and races could develop if all men originally were of one race and one language. Only the book of Genesis gives an adequate answer. The origin of religion. There are many different religions among men, but all share the consciousness that there must be some ultimate truth and meaning toward which men should strive. Many religions take the form of an organized system of worship and conduct. The origin of this unique characteristic of man's consciousness, as well as the origin of true worship of the true God, is given in Genesis. Number 14, the origin of the chosen people. The enigma of the Israelites, the unique nation that was without a homeland for 1900 years, which gave to the world the Bible and the knowledge of the true God, through which came Christianity, and which yet rejects Christianity, a nation which has contributed signally to the world's art, music, science, finance, and other products of the human mind, and which is nevertheless despised by great numbers of people, is answered only in the terms of the unique origin of Israel as set forth in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis thus is in reality the foundation of all true history, as well as true science and true philosophy. It is above all else the foundation of God's revelation as given in the Bible. No other book of the Bible is quoted as copiously and or referred to so frequently in other books of the Bible as in Genesis. In the Old Testament, for example, Adam is mentioned by name in the books of Deuteronomy, Job, 1 Chronicles, and Noah is mentioned in 1 Chronicles, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. Abraham is mentioned by name in 15 books of the Old Testament and 11 of the New. Jacob is named in 20 books other than Genesis of the Old Testament, and in at least 17 of the New Testament. In a special sense, every mention of the people or nation of Israel is an implicit acknowledgement of the foundational authority of Genesis, since Israel was the new name given to Jacob, and his sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. Apart from the book of Genesis, there is no explanation for Israel, nor consequently for all the rest of the Old Testament. The New Testament is, if anything, even more dependent on Genesis than the Old. There are at least 165 passages in Genesis that are either directly quoted or clearly referred to in the New Testament. Many of these are alluded to more than once, so that there are at least 200 quotations or allusions to Genesis in the New Testament. It is significant that the portions of Genesis, which has been the object of the greatest attacks of skepticism and unbelief, the first 11 chapters is the portion which had the greatest influence on the New Testament. Yet there exist over 100 quotations or direct references to Genesis chapters 1 through 11 in the New Testament. Furthermore, every one of these 11 chapters is alluded to somewhere in the New Testament, and every one of the New Testament authors refers somewhere in his writings to Genesis chapters 1 through 11. On at least 6 different occasions, Jesus Christ himself quoted from or referred to something or someone in one of these chapters, including specific reference to each of the first 7 chapters. Furthermore, in not one of these many instances where the Old or the New Testament refers to Genesis is there the slightest evidence that the writers regarded the events or personages as mere myths or allegories. To the contrary, they viewed Genesis as absolutely historical, true, and authoritative. It is quite impossible, therefore, for one to reject the historicity and divine authority of the book of Genesis without undermining and, in effect, repudiating the author of the entire Bible. If the first Adam is only an allegory, then by all logic, so is the second Adam. If man did not really fall into sin from his state of created innocency, there is no reason for him to need a Savior. If all things can be accounted for by natural processes of evolution, there is no reason to look forward to a future supernatural consummation of all things. If Genesis is not true, then neither are the testimonies of those prophets and apostles who believed it was true. Jesus Christ himself becomes a false witness, either a deceiver or one who was deceived, and his testimony concerning his own omniscience and omnipotence becomes blasphemy. Faith in the gospel of Christ for one's eternal salvation is an empty mockery. By all means, therefore, we must oppose any effort from any source to mythologize, or allegorize the Genesis record. It was written as sober history, the divinely inspired account of the origin of all things. No one, therefore, can hope to attain a true and full understanding of anything without a basic acceptance and comprehension of the origin of everything as recorded in Genesis. And we'll end there for today. We're on page 22. God bless you. My name's John Wadsworth. And again, this is the Genesis Record, a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings by Henry Morris. The Genesis Record is by the Institute of Creation Research. For over 50 years, the Institute for Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of the Bible's accuracy and authority through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentation, all conducted with a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icr.org. And all of this information is on Blog Talk Radio's episode info for this episode. And it's also located on my website, not my Facebook's page, Whitestone Ministries. If you'd like to contact me, you can email me through Blog Talk, or you can email me through Whitestone Ministries, located in Facebook. So God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed this.